Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 190, part 1, Now I See. Today is Friday, April 15th, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay, I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. But we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostest and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that, and that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recorder recording audio guys were asleep and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of the cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you probably all rush to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam. Okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know. So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The message is for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied Hostess with the Mostest, Web Madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the Chief Marketing Technologist and just get rid of all these things, you know. It's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, ooh, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it. Four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
The message today is entitled, Now I See. I do believe in this end time we need to see God and to hear God and then obey God. Job 13, 5 and 6 says like this, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. That's how I was brought to the Lord, hearing his voice. But now mine eye seeth thee. That doesn't happen right away. You don't see God right away. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Now, I meant by seeing that you see the hem of his garment. No man's going to see God and live. But anyway, Jehovah had spoken and Job shook. The Lord had revealed himself and Job had seen him. Like I said, he's shown him the hem of his garment and unveiled probably a part of his ways. Now his ways and his thoughts are way above our ways and way above our thoughts. And then all doubt and arguments were gone. When you see God, and when you, now I see God, you see what he's about, and you understand a little bit, in part, of what he's about and what he's doing, and will do from past experiences, all your arguments are gone. All your excuses for not doing are gone. All your excuses for trying to look like something you aren't, are gone. And so it says in the Bible that God spoke out of a whirlwind concerning, I believe, the greatest of his power, the wonders of his workings, the splendor of his skill, and the infinity of his wisdom. All that out of a whirlwind. But I think we all should carefully read what God spoke to Job. If you're going through a hard time, get into that. You know what? He simply stated facts, but they had that Spirit of God on it. And he spoke in very simple language. But you see, the very overpowering glory of the utterance lies in the facts themselves. What are the facts? And I thought about that. I read and I thought, well, what is a fact? We have a mission down here, and the fact is we've been given a job to do this work. That's a fact. And God says in very simple language, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll bear a cross. If you love me, you will look for no excuses. Then if you find one, don't use it. And I think we all must come to face very simple facts. Preacher, are you listening on the radio or to this tape? You have to look at the very simple facts, and God will speak in very simple language to you. Maybe you'll say, get up, get going. Or maybe you'll say, shut up and put up. But anyway, it does away with all the excuses and it does away with all the opinions. And don't we have a lot of opinions? And in this confession of Job's, we see that Job acknowledges boundless power. For he says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? And I think the words God spoke in chapter 38 are ringing in Job's ears. He had time to meditate on it, think about it a little bit. Job then repeats them and accepts them as applying to himself. So many times we read the Word of God and apply it to someone else. We take the plaster and put it on them. No, when you read the Word of God, it's for you. Are you hearing this? And I think it should be also the same with us. God's words should become our words, directed to us, not to someone else. But anyway, the Lord spoke to Job out of a whirlwind, and he said, who is it, listen to this real close, who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? So many times people talk and say things and they don't know what they're talking about. Now here is God dealing with Job, and preacher, God will deal with you. Now then Job replies and he says, I am the foolish one. I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. We're so busy asking God why, we never ask God how. We're always asking questions, well, why do I have to do that? I don't know, I don't fully understand. You're never going to fully understand. That's like you talk to your children. You say, go make your bed. And you say, why? Because I said so. Because. But because why? And they go on and on and on. Finally, they say, just get in there and make your bed, all right? I'm not going to give you a case history on why I want this thing done. I just simply want it done. Now obey. And it's the same way with the children of God. They always got a whole lot of whys and a whole lot of buts. But they didn't, but she didn't, but they didn't. No, I have spoken to you, and I want you to obey me and do that job. Do you hear me? And so many times, the council gets darkened by people. Job felt that what he had spoken concerning the Lord was mainly true. And even the Lord had said to Job's friends, he said like this, ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. But anyway, under the same sense of divine presence, that even though he had spoken right, that he had spoken beyond his own proper knowledge. And so many times we do that. Talking about things that he could not fathom. Now, many men used of God, the prophets and the preachers who speak by the Holy Spirit, feel this way. See, it's not the thoughts of the prophets, and that's where we get off. It is not the thoughts of the prophets which are inspired by God, but the words. See, because many times they spoke prophecies they could no way understand. And so people will look for an interpretation on something through a person. Well, and they'll say, well, now what does that mean? No, the words are anointed. Not the preacher's thinking, not the prophet's thinking. You can't elevate them above God. Well, what did you think about what God had to say there? Now they make decisions on what God says. And they'll even do it as far as, preacher, as far as your ministry goes, or as far as your life goes, or your life goes, or your life goes. And they'll say, thus saith the Lord. And pretty soon they're running the show. And the fact of the matter is, aren't all the mysteries of God above all human thought? Sometimes we think we have this vision or that vision or so on like that. And that's not wrong. But we have it right down to the last nail. But anyway, Job is impressed by his own folly. And I believe he had, to a large degree, spoken that which he felt sure was true. We can do that. We really think it's true. But he now feels that he didn't understand what he said. Did you ever do that to yourself? Now, what did I just say? It was profound, but now I don't understand it. What if someone comes and asks me, what does that mean? Well, I know it was anointed. I know it was profound. But how will I ever explain it? Don't get into explaining what God meant. That's like somebody coming to you, one of your older children, and say, well, you see, what mom or dad meant was so-and-so. And they think that they have to be a go-between. You ever had somebody like that? See what he really means. A lot of times mates do that. See what he's trying to say is. And he isn't trying to say that at all. He really doesn't know what he's trying to say. Neither do you. Don't we do that a lot? See what she's trying to say, or what he's trying to say is this. And then he goes on and he even admits that in his bitterness, and oh, how bitter we can get when people speak and their counsel is darkened, the counsel of God is darkened by their counsel. But he even admits that in his own bitterness had said many unwise things. Now, when we're bitter, we say a lot of unwise, unnecessary, ungodly things to one another. Because, you see, our counsel is not a God. We darken God's counsel. Then he goes on and confesses that he has darkened counsel by words without knowledge. He uttered things that he shouldn't have. Well, I blew it. But so many times we say, well, I blew it. I spoke about things I didn't really understand. Don't we get into that, speaking about things that we don't really understand? But anyway, I thought this was great that this man of God proceeds to draw near unto the Lord and bows himself. Foolish as he confesses, and as he confesses to be, he does not run away from supreme wisdom. Preacher, don't run away. Run to. As ignorant as he was, let's say, he still will not hide like Adam. No, he takes up the word of the Lord again in Job 38:3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, and answer thou me. He goes right back into God. Where else are you going to go? And I believe, like a man in a dream, Job accepts the invitation and answers, "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." And here he believed what God had to say, whatever he spoke, even discouraging words. I don't care what you say, just keep speaking to me. Wrap me with a rod. Multiply my sores. But keep on a-talking to me. Because he found honey in them, preacher. The fact that God still talks and that he'll still commune is a very great thing. Don't be discouraged if God is using you as an example. Have you tried my servant Job yet? But I think it would cause many of us to just quit. I quit. I give up. And yet, to Job, to his faith, it becomes an encouragement, and in effect he says like this, "My God, I will venture to take thee at thy word. No matter what you say, I am going to believe it and I am going to obey in the face of all of these so-called friends." Well, he kind of got into that too. "Thou biddest me come, and I come, and I will come dust and ashes though I be. I'm as low as I possibly can go. I am but dust and ashes. I will do as thou dost allow me." "And make my humble appeal to thee." Now he's been humbled. There is no better situation for you to be in than to be totally humbled. And still trust in the Lord and don't give up and don't become dismayed and don't become angry and don't become bitter, but simply turn yourself in the direction of God and go to him. Now I think we ought to learn from this. Not to allow our sense of folly, and I'm getting calls all the time, our sense of folly or our sense of sin drive us away from God. but that it is right when our humiliation draws us to the Lord. So many times people think that their life has totally been wasted, and why would God want anything to do with them? Well, that's your thoughts. Those are not God's thoughts. And we take a look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, so on, in relation to the whore, and God said, unless your righteousness exceeds this, you won't even make it to heaven. You're keeping the whole law, but you got the wrong spirit about it. See, you're not humbled in not one degree. And I believe our conscience needs drive us to the throne of grace. Oh, when you're real dirty and you stink, don't you go take a bath? You run away from the shower? One sure way for you to lose a whole lot of friends is not take a bath. When you see your life as a dirty, miserable mess, well, where else can you go but the water of the Word? Is there someplace else you can get cleaned up? No. No. You're in a wonderful situation to turn yourself into the Lord. Because I believe the more foolish and the more sinful we are, the more urgent is our need to come to God. And God alone can make us clean. God alone can instruct us in the way of heavenly wisdom. But sometimes we take on a spirit and we love to stay in that spirit. Did you know that? Sometimes you can take on a melancholy spirit. You can take on this self-destructive spirit, and you dearly love to stay in it, and you will stay in it, and you're going to make everybody miserable right along with you. Get out of it. That's just a spirit that you're familiar with. You talk to it all day long. You're dirty and you're nasty. I know, I am. Yes, of course. Yes. And you talk back and forth. Yeah. Yeah, and then pretty soon you gather a group, and like spirits, join with like spirits, and pretty soon you got a whole room full of people making confessions all day long about how nasty they are. And I used to go out into Full Gospel businessmen's meetings quite a bit, and different meetings when I first started my ministry. And I always noticed that there would be these testimonies of people holding up the garbage can. And to the very last icky little thing in the bottom of that can, they'd take it all apart and show how nasty. We're in the next guy, well, you are. No, wait, I'm going to show you a garbage truck full. And I thought, God, what a waste of time. So I get up, and they say, well, now, are you going to give your testimony about how nasty I am? No. I'm a sinner, but see, I'm a sinner saved by grace now. What are you going to talk about? Well, I don't know. Well, let's let the Lord lead, okay? But I'm not going to stand up and talk about how miserable and nasty I was, see? And it seems like there's a whole club of people that like to go back and examine their garbage cans and their garbage trucks and their dung heaps. All I could say was if there was any filth, I was in it when I was in the world, so that's the end of that. Now, that's the end of my testimony. If there's any way possible that I could enter into a dunghill, burrow in any way I could get a jump from a 10-story building, bury myself in it, I'd be there. That's the end of that. Now, let's get on with the Lord here. How many here it is? But he believed God now, whatever that he spoke to him. Did you ever get into that? I mean, you have to get into that. God, whatever you tell me now, just keep on talking. Keep right on talking, no matter what you give me. Wrap me with a rod. Do whatever you chasten me. Do whatever, but keep trying. I need your counsel. And so anyway, whatever fault we may have found in Job, I think we ought to look again and see how graciously that he behaved. The Lord led Job to find fault with himself, and yet God himself does not complain of him. In fact, he even commends him. See, you find fault with yourself. God doesn't. And then, of course, he had these three yapping friends. These three yapping friends were commanded to bring a costly sacrifice, but not Job. And when they had brought their seven bullocks, the Bible says, the Lord didn't accept them. And why? Not until Job, whom they had condemned, had made intercession for them. There they brought their bullocks. Here we are, God, we're bringing a sacrifice. Boy, have you ever suffered with this Job person. No, I don't accept it. No, I believe that you need some interceding from Job here. The one that you really didn't understand, you didn't know what I was doing with him, and yet you gave darkened my counsel. Interesting. I think it's interesting. I think many will have to go back to a brother or a sister they've talked about and ask, will you pray for me? And I know this, that both sides better obey. Does that ever happen to you, preacher? Oh, it's happened to me dozens of times. But you see, it's brought you, preacher, to the point of being humble enough to be able to forgive and to say, oh, praise the Lord. Yes, let's pray. And your prayer puts you right at, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. That's where, even though these brothers aren't working with you, they're not with you, totally not with you. They're busy looking at your sores and your owies. Oops, there's another one. And so, see, let us all then approach God, even when it seems, and he seems to frown. Go right to God. Oh, there's so much ministry. And I walked boldly into the throne room of God and I said, listen, huh? I command you as you have spoken. And there's a time of being humble, folks. And there's so much of that going on right now. And there's so much of that spirit. I overhear people talking sometimes, and the testimony was, here was this man that was bent, and they were in a nursing home here where they have a lot of paraplegics, and this woman was talking about how she had commanded in the name of Jesus that he keep those promises that he had and heal her. And then she was right up in this person's face, see. Well, she certainly didn't encourage anybody in that hospital there. I mean, I know there's divine healing, but hey, there's a spirit. It was a wrong spirit, see? I mean, I never did find out what she was healed from. Salvation is a healing. Going over to the other side, spiritually speaking, is a healing. But anyway, there's a way of doing things, and there's a counsel from God to each person's heart, and there's a timing involved. But I think there'll be a lot of brothers and sisters that have to go back to one another and say, hey, will you pray for me? I can't even pray anymore. I get down on my hands and knees, and I go to pray, and these thoughts are with me. And God is telling that person or persons, go on back. Have that brother or sister that you judge, condemn, put down in a hole, laughed at their sores and always, darkened the counsel of God. Go on back and have them. That's their humbling then, see? So I think everybody's going to have to eat humble pie. No ice cream, just humble pie. No Alamodes. Mincemeat pie. And I think we ought to all get to where Job was. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do whatever. And I think, therefore, we ought to all bow down low before the throne with no distance in it. Nearer to thee, O Lord, nearer to thee kind of message. So today, let us enter into the door of our text. Having come to it, let us now enter into it. Get into the thing. And I think there's a few things here, let's say three things here that we should consider in this message. Number one, we have sometimes very vivid impressions of God. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Then number two, when we are favored with these clear views of God, we have lower thoughts of ourselves. The closer you get to God, the less you're going to think of yourself. Wherefore I abhor myself. And you'll kind of give up that singing, I love me, I love me, I'm wild about myself. I think I'm just a dream. I love to kiss and hug me and put my arms around me. You'll give that up. I abhor myself. I got close to God and I abhor myself. How do you get close to God? By being humble. Jesus got close to God. He's at the right hand of God, the Father. Suffered humiliation as an example. So whenever we are made lowly, our heart is filled with repentance. And there's all kinds of repenting. You know, there's I'm sorry repenting, and they're always sorry. You tell your kids, are you sorry? I'm sorry. And the next week they do the same thing. And are you sorry now? I'm sorry. Go to your room. Stay in there for 2 weeks. Are you sorry now? I am really sorry now. I'm sorry I got caught. So there's a kind of thing where, even in a Judas type thing, where people are sorry, but they're sorry they got caught and they don't look too good. And so they try to cover up everything they've done in their Judas effort. I am truly sorry. And they can cry them crocodile tears. No, before a crocodile eats anyone, they have tears that come. Isn't that strange? Big tears. Probably because they're not fat enough or something. Not a big enough a prize. But anyway, whenever we are made lowly, we are filled, and our heart is filled with repentance. Oh God, we're so sorry. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? I will abhor myself and I will repent in dust and ashes. So number one then. We have sometimes very vivid impressions of our God. Job had heard from God long ago, and he knew God. Not merely from other men. He had heard God. He had actually heard the voice of God. And I'll tell you, that'll shake you. That's how I got saved. But anyway, he had been a very reverent teacher, or listener to the teachings of God. An obedient servant. to all of his commands. And so you see, he really did hear God. And I think a man that can say that can say a great deal. If God has ever been on speaking terms with any of you in here today, you have much cause for gratitude. It's very true then you're not dead in sin. Or if you were, you are now alive because the voice of God makes you alive. When he speaks, he makes you alive. He changes you, brings you into another realm of understanding. And then, of course, if you've heard God in the secret of your soul, you are a spiritual man. When he speaks in that small, still voice. Because you see, only a spirit can hear the Spirit of God. None can discern the Lord but the man who has been given spiritual life, that's been born again. And so Job had heard God, but now he has a more vivid apprehension of him. One eyewitness I know is better than 40 ear witnesses. Hearsays. That'd be like someone describing a person, and then that's the exact description of that person. And 40 people say it must be him. Said he had this great big bulbous nose and no hair and a gray beard. It's gotta be him. And then one eyewitness comes along and said, this is not the man. Man had hair little nose. You know, let me see, the eyewitness. Someone that's really seen with their own eyes. You can hear all about a mission like this, but until you actually come down here and see these people, and especially after the 15th of the month and then on down. It's the same way when you see these things, hear these things about Ethiopia, when you really see them. How much greater it is, though, when you not just seeing it on TV, but you see it with your own eyes. And probably hold one of these little skinny babies. Do you think that would make an impression on you? I know when I deal with kids down here, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of them down here. When I deal with them now, I kind of have to repent of all my years of ministry that I wasn't involved. But see, I am now an eyewitness. I have made eye contact, eyeball to eyeball with suffering. I am changed. There's no way I can go back. There's nothing that could make me ever want to go back. Vacations to me are out of the question. Lying on my back someplace is totally, well, I wouldn't make it. I'd die. That's what it means. Give your life to gain your life. Well, you hold on to your life. What do you want your miserable life for anyway? Do you want your miserable life? Well, a lot of people want to hold on to their life. They want to hold on to their personality. People think I'm cute, and people think I'm so funny, and people... What about me? Really, people could care less about you. Get it down. How many hearing this? When it comes right down to it, let's just talk bald-faced here. Don't worry about what people think about you because they don't think a whole lot about you. And in fact, the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Something wrong. You're a man-pleaser. How many hearing this? I hope you hear the whole thing here today. See, seeing makes it so much more vivid. It's like this radio audience. Supposedly, according to KUXL, the most listened to. But you really, unless you come down here, you don't even know what's going on in this mission down here. Well, we'll be with you in spirit, brother. No. No, it's got to be a spiritual coming on down the road. When a spirit meets a spirit, coming down the road. Huh? It's the truth, isn't it? See, we want to get into a non-involvement policy where we can kind of stand back and look at everything, you know, sort of helicopter over the north side here and look down and maybe drop a care package every once in a while. But I'm talking about an involvement. Well, you could even involve yourself by sending a little money. Now I said the wrong thing. Oh, should I say I'm sorry? No, I'm not sorry. Oh, gosh, I forgot to set you kids up. Just a minute. How many hearing this? I'm talking about an involvement. You know, word painting can never equal the actual seeing of a thing. Now, let's just paint a picture here. What's going on? And this is little suffering Teddy over here. He's got his face all black and blue, and he's been beat up by a boyfriend. Here's a mother over here that's having a nervous, stone-like, and a lot of people come in. They got this glassy stare. They have that stone-like rigidity about them, but they also have a rigidity about them, but they also have a terrible quaking. So they're so rigid that if the hand starts to shake, the whole body goes. You know what I mean? They have been consumed. The whole body shakes. Now, it's just like one leg tightens up and that leg starts shaking and the whole body's going to shake. And this I'm dealing with every day. Can you walk away from that? Not if you've seen it with your eye. Not if you've seen God. I used to hear God, but I never saw Him. Now I see Him. Until a person really sees with his own eyes, he's not going to see God. Now I see God. But notice this, that in order to have this close vision of God, affliction had overtaken him. He had to be afflicted first. Are you afflicted?
Good.
It wasn't until after he had scraped himself with a potsherd, nor his friends had scraped him with something worse, their words, that Job could say, "Mine eye seeth thee." Not until he was afflicted and inflicted. Not until every camel, not until every sheep had been stolen. Every child dead, could he cry, "Mine eye seeth thee." I mean, he had totally lost it all. So many times we can get busy at looking about what God has given us in the wealth that we have and so on like that, we really don't see God. We're so busy, our eyes are so busy looking around and taking inventory on everything we have, because we have so much faith, don't you see? And we claimed all that junk that rust and moth is going to take care of, and you're going to drop into the ground and the worms are going to crawl through your nostrils. Huh? And we get caught up in taking personal inventory all the time. Boy, this guy has really got it together. Got what together? Garage full of junk? No, that's not seeing God. And until we're inflicted, we won't see God. See, he had heard of God, and he had heard his voice, and he's coming into another realm now. As great a servant as he was, as obedient as he was, He now is leaving the ear to the eye. The eyes have it. And that's what it takes for so many of us to see God. The loss of all things. I think happy is a man who in prosperity can hear the voice of God. But I believe prosperity is but a painted window, like those painted windows right over here in the church, which shuts out the much clearer light of God. But then when the affliction and the adversity take away the painted glass, we can see God. The Lord, it says in the Bible, took away from Job everything. And then opened a door for Job to see more of himself. And then, of course, and in the absence of all other goods, our good God is better seen. Now you can see God. You're not consumed. You're not into fearing. You lose your fear. The only thing you fear then is you fear God. You don't fear of losing everything, you lost it. Give your life to gain it. Now, if you're into a whole lot of fear, you're hanging on to your life. Well, I'm afraid of being afraid. We talked about that. I'm afraid of being afraid. I'm afraid of dying. Well, don't be afraid of dying. You're already dead. No, I'm afraid of failing. Well, don't be afraid of failing. You're already, by the fact that you're afraid of failing, failed. So why not just give it all over and allow yourself to be humbled? Well, anyway, in prosperity, God is heard, and that's a blessing. But in adversity, God is seen, and that is a greater blessing. When you get into a work, when you're dealing with people, either here in a mission type work, war in Africa, or wherever you're at, or any type of work that God wants you to do, and it's anointed of the Lord to do it. God's in it. And there's adversity, and there's trials, and there's tribulations, and there's sufferings, and all that. Now you go a step further, and you see God. You see the hand of God, and you trust not in the arm of the flesh. Because the arm of the flesh isn't there. It's gone. Now listen, and I know I'm going to get a letter on this one. Praise God, keep them coming, because you know it is the truth. It is the truth. Be realistic, please. Listen to it. Sanctified adversity. Oh, how ridiculous. Sanctified adversity quickens our, let's say, spiritual sensitiveness. Sanctified of God, adversities quickens us to the spiritual sensitiveness, and we become spiritual. We have nowhere else to go. Now, I know that is not spoken of or preached at all. But I know in my own self, I'm more sensitive to God when people are insensitive to me. I mean, you have stones thrown at you and so on like that, people listening on the radio, and you're just beside yourself, you don't know where to go. God's trying to shake you loose and give you a few of these things right now, adversities and so on, to shake you loose for a higher calling. Praise God for it. Just think you're going to leave yourself behind. Come on, put all away all your troubles, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
Be sure to listen to the conclusion of episode 190, part 2, Now I See, this Sunday. Have a great weekend.
gato amor, eu gato amor, eu gato amor, já, eu gato amor. Oh, when the Lord get ready, eu gato amor. Yeah.